Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to this man's voice here on this strange Sunday afternoon. So I am in the home office, which is here in Atlanta, and we went through a tornado yesterday, and it was very close to the property here, and so that was interesting. We were out of power. I was concerned about getting back on the air. But anyway, we're here for you, and we're glad you're with us. If you want to join the show, feel free to call us at our number 646-668-8740. And I want to get into the show talking about some things. But one of the things I would like to start off discussing is I think, you know, we've been talking about the world that seems to be going in a very strange way, a very strange direction. And this one article that I saw, and I know Bruce is on the line, but the kidnapping of the Michigan governor. When you read that and you realize that the people were actually going to, was a group of people who were actually decided that Gretchen Whitmer had put too many sanctions on them, that she had closed the different places and wouldn't let them be normal. So they decided to kidnap her and shoot and kill all the other people that were making rules in the state of Michigan. Then it was a group of people who met in this one basement, but then they went out and started recruiting other groups of people. And so they recruited the Wolverine Watchmen, which is a, we all know, you know, that's one of those really negative groups that stay on the top 10 FBI list, keep an eye on. And, you know, so it's just weird the way the world is going. Things that are happening in 2020 that will be discussed in lots of history books from now on. But Bruce, tell me, how is Michigan and what happened? I know what happened in terms of the news, but how much was this impacting the state of Michigan?
Thanks, David. It made the front pages of the newspaper and the local news and the national news, as you know. It's actually been talked about very, very little. Probably because the reason I've discussed it very little, almost as a, and I don't mean light of this, almost as a crazy action. And unfortunately, we have a number of people that go all different directions in crazy ways. And this is another one. I mean, overthrow the government, kill legislators, kidnap the governor, and take over the Michigan government. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I think some people, when they heard what their role was or their goals were, people said, these are just people that are just over the top. I wouldn't say, I don't know the people, so I wouldn't say that they're, you know, unsettled or mentally disturbed, or I don't know them, but the idea of doing that is just ludicrous in any state, whether it be Michigan or any place. So I think it was so over the top that, and they've been, from what I heard, I don't know if you guys did, they've been tracking this activity for a month or two. This didn't just happen by accident as far as, you know, it was a surprise. And that the, I think the FBI, some of the federal and state people. A number of people have been working on this for a long time, and I think they were just trying to see how far they were going to go or get to a point where they could, you know, make something stick, obviously, from the standpoint of illegal action or unstable action or whatever the case may be. So, it's talked about, but it's not taken anywhere. Nothing's taken serious in that regard at all from what I've seen.
When you say not taken serious, but wouldn't it be serious if they would have came through? The only way that they were able to this down is that they had informants, because somebody in the group, because they're meeting at this special place in Michigan, and they would meet there and they would have these conversations. They would invite other groups, and somebody in the group decided to whistleblow.
Maybe poor phrase of words. Yes, it was a serious thing, but as far as them following through on it, wasn't ever going to happen. Whether they could have, and if they got to the point of getting to the Capitol and causing harm or kidnapping the governor, then we've got to look at the, you know, we talk about law enforcement, and a lot of people don't think we should have it, or we should have less, or it should be changed, or whatever the fact may be. But bottom line is, traditional law enforcement investigation and follow through is what got a hold of these people. So I think when you first started, I think part of the reason things are getting so crazy right now is instability and people feeling very unsafe, whether it be from a coronavirus, the two parties, Republican and Democrat, the radical ideas, the craziness that you just asked me about. I think there's a lot of instability and a lot of angst on people that really got them either very nervous, very upset, or very worried.
Can you imagine the other governments of other countries talking about the United States right now? I mean, here is a, you know, we had the, of course, president that with the coronavirus, and now we have stories of kidnapping. It sounds like we're back in the Wild West. Don, you're from that area. What are your thoughts on Michigan and this plot that happened there?
David, I think it's a real serious issue. If this had been any other group, it would have been taken more serious than it is at this moment. The governor took it very serious. Her life was at stake. Her family's life was at stake, all because of the words of our leader. See, you have to be very careful what you say when you're in leadership. The power of death and life is in the tongue. So what you say means an awful lot. Stand down. Until I tell you something, I phrased it, but that's what it meant. And they planned this. They were about to do something to her and her family, but they were intercepted by the FBI and the Michigan State Police. This is ridiculous. You know, we got to look at what I said before and be prepared, because this is just the beginning of the craziness that we're about to face in America. The other countries, like I said before, are looking at us like a laughingstock. We're just airing our dirty laundry in the public, in the world, and they're saying, man, my God, it used to be the home of the free and the home of the brave. And a country of hope, but look at what's happening here. You know, I still say November 3rd through January 20th will be one of the most difficult times that America has faced, and we're heading towards that way. I think the Michigan situation is a travesty.
Yes, it it's, you know, we're back in the Wild West. I mean, because it wasn't just to kidnap the governor. It was to kidnap the governor and shoot and kill other politicians who are making laws.
Exactly.
We haven't been in this position. I haven't been in this position. I minor issues, but nothing at this major and during this period of time. And it was all over the COVID-19 making rules to try to keep people protected. Darius, what are your thoughts?
I'm disgusted at the attempt, but I'm even more so disgusted at the selective moral outrage of people and trying to pretend like this never happened. Like, I didn't hear this outrage from you guys when Antifa and BLM marched with bottle rockets and Molotov cocktails and surrounded the mayor's house in Portland. Or when they marched and surrounded the mayor's condominium, I mean the mayor's house in Seattle and the mayor's condominium in Portland, where it got so bad that the tenants had to ask the mayor to leave just so they could have some peace because they were in fear for their lives. We try to say this never happened, but do we forget what happened at the Capitol ballpark when Steve Scalise got shot and almost died when a Bernie supporter went out there and started shooting a Republican congressman? We've forgotten what happened when one of the far left wing supporters went to the Discovery Channel and started shooting up everybody there because they felt like they weren't reporting enough on global warming. This stuff is horrific. And it should not happen. But for you guys to act like this has never happened before, and is only, and this is attributed to Donald Trump, is outrageous. Like, when will we stop? When are people going to be held accountable for their actions? You don't hear people coming on saying, "Oh, Joe Biden's responsible for the lootings, or the bombings, or the shootings." Well, you guys weren't outraged when Black Lives Matter shot black police officers or white police officers. I didn't hear the same outrage when a Black Lives Matter guy ran up to a cop, to two cops, and shot them as they sat in their patrol cars. Guys, we gotta look at this thing on an objective level if you want to have any type of credibility. And I don't really see that coming from you guys right now. I'm sorry.
I don't think this is a Republican or a Democratic situation. I think this is a stupidity situation. And the thing is, what I said was, you got to be careful what you say as a leader, because it adds fuel to things like this. You're right, Darius. It's been happening, but this one here has received gasoline. It's been ignited. Over the past 3 years, we've experienced nothing but hatred and division in this country. And it's got to stop. Republican,
yeah.
Democrat, left side, right side, it doesn't matter. It's got to stop. It doesn't need any more gasoline.
I'd like to say something.
And
yes,
there are more than, there's more than one party and more than one person stirring that pot, as you said, Don. It's not just Trump. I mean, it's Trump this, Trump that, Trump this. Biden says, "Well, I'll tell you about things when you vote for it." That phrase was familiar a while ago. He's been asked about packing the Supreme Court, and he says, "Well, I'm not going to answer that question." Then he says, "Well, why?" Some of his friends in the press says, "Well, why? Why won't you answer it?" Because you don't need to know. He says, "Well, some of the Democrats want to know too."
Well,
And they said, I'm not going to tell them.
Why would they not let Barack Obama select a Supreme Court justice? And it was further back than what it is now. Bruce, we're only experiencing less than 30 days from the election. They started with Barack Obama 8 months. Come on, man.
Don, where does that start? Does it start at the beginning of the third, the fourth year he can't do anything, the last 6 months, the last 3 months, the last 9 months, he's president till he isn't president. Obama was president until he was not. If a precedent is there, yes, there, you're right, there's a precedent, but it's not law. And if the in this case, a Republican president feels like it's for the betterment of the United States, in his opinion and his direction, that he do this now, then he has a right to do that. And for people to say, well, you can't do it, the people overwhelmingly want to wait. I said, well, what about the people that hired him as president? They don't want to wait. They want their president to do what he should do. And going into a very tenuous period with only 8 justices could be a real, real problem. So there's definitely need. There's definitely need.
We felt that way when Obama was trying to select a Supreme Court judge, Bruce. That very same way and passion that you speak right now, we felt the very same way.
I wouldn't doubt that you did, Don.
Elections have consequences, Don, and I guarantee you that if Barack Obama had a Democratic majority Senate, he would have pushed Merrick Garland through. He'd be doing the same thing, but he didn't have that. So the difference is Donald Trump has a Republican Senate, who the people elected, and that's why he's going forward with it. That's the difference.
Let him go for it. He has no reason to ask whether we might win the election and add more Supreme Court justice. Do what you got to do.
All right, let me bring in Michael. What are your thoughts on that?
Shouldn't Biden, if the press asks him, shouldn't Biden answer that question? Why not?
No.
Why not?
Because it's hypothetical. It's what if. What if. Because the thing is, Donald Trump never operates on what is. You don't answer stuff like that. I wouldn't answer it either.
Okay.
What if?
All right. Good. Let me ask Michael, what are your thoughts?
With regards to the pack in the court, if I was Biden, I definitely would not answer that question either. Because what the Republicans are trying to do, they're trying to change the conversation. They want the conversation to be about whether or not the Democrats are going to pack the court. They don't want the conversation to be about the fact that they were hypocrites and they said that you should never hold a hearing for a Supreme Court justice in an election year. Those are Mitch McConnell's exact words. He said, in an election year, you should not. You should let the people vote and decide. Fast forward to 2020. Oh, no, he's rushing to hold a hearing in an election year with only 20 days left. So they don't want that to be the conversation, David, how big of a hypocrite they were. They want the conversation to be, will he pack the courts or not? So that's all they're doing. And I applaud Joe Biden for not falling victim of their strategy to change the conversation. No, we're not going to change the conversation. We're going to continue to talk about how the Republicans were hypocrites when Barack Obama had 11 months left and Mitch McConnell clearly said, no, not in an election year. And here Donald Trump has 20 days left and they're pushing through the nomination. They're hypocrites. That's what we're going to continue to talk about.
Michael, what if Joe Biden's supporters want to know? What if they want to know?
Like I said, we're going to continue to talk about how you guys were hypocrites and you said no hearing during an election year.
All right.
Bottom line.
Wow.
All right. Let's get the younger guys. Okay, Jeremiah, what are your thoughts on this conversation we're having?
I came in pretty late, so I didn't catch the whole thing. I came in pretty late. I just got in.
I'm going to take the Fifth Amendment. I'm sorry. Spencer, what are your thoughts? The sports guy can't speak.
How about Ron? Is he around?
Yeah, Ron.
I was waiting to see when David was going to call me. I was ready to hang up and go watch my news.
No, Ron, I got your buzzer, so that's why I said something.
Thank you, Bruce.
You're welcome.
Where do I start? Let me go back to what Darius said. Darius, I agree. you know, we should look, you know, going back to the Michigan thing, the kidnapping, I totally agree. We need to be as objective as we can. And I totally agree that people need to be held accountable on both sides. You know, the far left, the far right. There's people, there's a lot of anxiety in this country right now. And there's people that are on the verge of doing stupid things. There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of mental issues going on, and it's probably going to continue to get worse. Don, you know, I think you hit it right on the head. You hit the nail right on the head when you said it's about leadership. You know, Darius, you said everybody needs to be held accountable. Well, what about the president? You know, he's the leader. Doesn't the buck stop with the president? He needs to be held accountable, and everything that he says is taken very seriously by the people that follow him. And if you have a screw loose in your head and you hear what he's saying, turn it around and you turn it into what we just saw was thankfully averted in Michigan, but could have happened because there's people that are going off the deep end. So it's very important the tone. And I don't think anybody on this call can disagree with the fact that this country has never been as divided as it is right now. And again, if we're going to hold somebody accountable, it's the rhetoric coming from the top. Last night, or maybe it was the night before, I was having a conversation with one of my brothers, and unfortunately it got to the point where it got kind of heated. And it was right before the Miami Hurricanes game. So I said, look, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I want to enjoy my Saturday night and watch a football game. We'll continue this conversation some other time. No, we won't, because I never, ever plan on talking about politics with him, with my other brother, or with anybody again, because it's aggravating me. It's causing me angst, anxiety, and it's not worth it. Thank God I've already casted my ballot. I've already voted. But I think the president has stirred the pot in this country. And Don, you're right. You know, other countries. Last night I got a WhatsApp message from my friends in Buenos Aires. And CNN Spanish in Buenos Aires, they were talking about in February, they're projecting, and I forget, I think it was Johns Hopkins University, 400,000 Americans dead by February. And all he said was, my God, what is going on? You look at other countries. In fact, this morning on CBS this morning, they had a whole segment on how China has restricted the number of people dying. Yes, it's authoritarian. They bolted doors so people couldn't leave their homes. I know we would never do that here. But come on, you know, from the beginning, if people would have worn masks, we wouldn't be losing. I remember when this whole thing first started and the numbers were 1,000 dead, 2,000 dead, and people were panicking. Oh, my God, 10,000 dead. Now it's 200-plus thousand going on to 400,000. And it's become, I mean, it doesn't even faze me anymore. It's become a normal thing, and that's not right. We are not in a good place, and I can't wait till November 3rd.
All right, guys, I want to bring that one to a close because there's something else that I noticed that I thought was very strange and interesting in the dates and times that we're in right now. North Korea, Kim Jong-un had a parade, and he showcased his missiles, his latest missiles in this parade. And everyone here in the United States thought that was very strange. These are modern new missiles that Kim Jong-un decides to show in a parade. So who is he bullying? In my mind, I think him and Trump have had this back and forth, calling each other names and stuff. And I think that was specifically for us to see. What are your thoughts on that, Bruce?
Oh, I'm glad you asked me because I was very curious about that myself. So I did some digging and also listened to five different newscasts. And the common thread was they think
He's built these missiles. He's parading them around. He's positioning himself on the chessboard so that when and if President Trump doesn't get a second term, which I think he will, but if he doesn't, then he'll have a large bartering stick that he can use against Biden to make sure that he gets what he wants, that he'll get his sanctions lifted or severely cut back, because he won't have the backbone or the strength that Trump had to fight him. So I've heard that from several different newscasts, not just the right side, left and right. I've heard that from.
Wow. Michael, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, I saw that parade. I personally think that those were a bunch of duds. I don't think there were anything in those missiles. I think that was just a front to make it look like they're stronger than they really are, they being North Korea. I think Donald Trump is obviously always aligned himself with Kim Jong-un and all the other dictators, Vladimir Putin. I think reason being because he knows if he loses the election, he's going to need to seek asylum in one of those countries, because we're clearly going to lock him up here in the United States. So I think that's what he's setting up. I think he's setting up an asylum play for him and his family to go to one of those countries.
Well, okay. What are your thoughts, Don?
I think Donald Trump missed an opportunity. He should have resigned and passed it on to Pence and worked a deal out like Nixon did with Ford, and worked a deal where Pence would have pardoned him so he'll have asylum, like my brother just said, because he's going to need it. And in Korea, I don't look at that as a major threat. I look at that as basically a hole in the ground. If he tried anything, he's not strong enough.
Darius, what are your thoughts?
It's propaganda, but it's not really. It's more so for North Korea than it is for the world. You know, North Korea has consistently, throughout history, tried to make these displays of strength to try to garner support from the rest of the world, and also to use it as a bargaining chip to get money. Donald Trump is the first president in modern history that didn't give North Korea anything. You know, we know the Clintons gave them billions of dollars. We know that Barack Obama gave them money too, saying that this was going to prevent them from making these very same weapons that they're displaying right now. So, you know, you can say what you want about Donald Trump, but you can say he's aligning himself with dictators, but he's the only one that didn't give out money, pass out taxpayer funds like Barack Obama did, and apologize to all these countries. You say he's a puppet, but you got to remember, he gave North Korea billions of dollars. He gave Vladimir Putin Russia right up under our noses, and Barack Obama did nothing as he marched in and took over Georgia. He also plotted with Iran and Syria. Barack Obama did nothing. We all remember the famous red line, don't cross this line. So you can say what you want about, you know, him aligning with dictators, but I guarantee you he'd much rather have a Joe Biden in office, these dictators, than they would Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has been relentless on dealing with these dictators, and he hadn't given up anything financially or in terms of or geographically either.
You forgot, Darius, he gave all of us buddies a tremendous amount of money in tax breaks. But here we have American people that are
We got to stick to one subject now. We're talking about dictators. We're talking about North Korea.
You mentioned
like
money.
No, we were talking about dictators, and I'm talking about, you said he aligned himself, so I'm saying who's the one who's really aligning himself. Trump hasn't given up anything. Barack Obama's given billions of dollars to dictators and given up land. He's sold countries out, our allies, Georgia. So what are we really talking about here? Are we talking about rhetoric, or are we talking about what's actual?
Okay, let's talk about money. Let's follow the money. He gave his friends tax breaks like never before, regardless of the federal budget. He gave his friends tax breaks. We've got people here in South Florida and across the country that cannot make ends meet. There
John,
is
you gave
about
tax breaks across the board. You gave tax breaks across
there,
the board, John.
Let me finish.
Everybody.
He gave tax breaks to his friends. He gave tax breaks. And we got people that can't make their mortgage, Darius. We got people that need food. We got lines of people here in Florida in lines to get food. I don't know about in other parts of the country.
Well, listen to me, Barack Obama and then $150 billion on the tarmac of Iran, that must not have been any concern to you, right?
Don't overtalk me like Donald Trump.
Well, you keep switching. I have to because you keep switching the subject, and what you're talking about is not what we're
talking
about. You're talking
about
right
money.
And it's not relevant.
You're saying he didn't give financial breaks to other countries. I'm saying to you is now he's saying we're not giving up enough. We need to get more after shooting himself in the foot and saying I'm not going to give a stimulus plan moments before the election, days before the election, and now he tells the country maybe we're not giving up enough. What kind of mess is that? What kind of mess is that, Darius? People are hungry in America. People are hurting.
Businesses are going out of business.
I see businesses going out of business, Darius. Where are you living?
So you're not asking me a question, then you're just making a statement.
I'm making a statement.
If you ask me a question, I can answer it. Okay, let me answer the question then. A tax break is not a tax break is not giving anything to anybody. What it's doing is it's inspiring economic activity. It's an incentive. When you give a tax break to a company, a major corporation, you are creating an incentive for them to create jobs, for them to create new development, for them to develop new products and services and goods. That's what a tax break is. It's not taking money out of the treasury and putting it in somebody's pocket. It's an incentive. So a lot of people have jobs and have wealth because of those tax breaks. A lot of people's 401ks have increased and improved because of those tax breaks.
A lot of those companies that went
overseas to other countries have come back because of those tax breaks. But let's be straight. He did a tax break across the board. Everybody got tax breaks from the lowest rung all the way to the top. Everybody got tax breaks. So if you want to do a fair comparison, that's the difference. When Barack Obama gave $150 billion to Iran, that wasn't a tax break. That wasn't an incentive to stimulate the economy. That's money he took out of the treasury. You weren't worried about those people.
No, that was their money. That was Iran's money. We froze that $150 billion. We gave them back their own money. That did not come out of the treasury.
You got to correct yourself, brother. What did we get?
It didn't come out of the treasury. Correct yourself. That didn't come out of the treasury.
Okay, so the other monies then that he gave to Syria, that he gave to the Russians, but when he took down the Missile Defense Fund, those funds, the money he gave to North Korea, that didn't come out of our treasury either.
Now, you talking about jumping all over the place. You was just talking about Iran. How did you get to North Korea?
I was talking about money and geography that we gave to other countries, to other dictators, that we let them have while Barack Obama was in office. It's all encompassing. So
let's talk about home. Darius, let's talk about right here at home, please. Please, please, come on. Hey, we live in America. Let's talk about things that we can affect us at home right now. We're suffering, man. Can't you see?
I can see it. We're suffering because we had a government shutdown. We got a Chinese virus. We got the COVID virus here. And businesses have been shut down. But it's not because of the economic plans of Donald Trump.
But it's under whose watch? Who's the president right now when all that's going on?
Michael, I agree with you 100%. Whoever's in the captain's chair, at the time something is happening, they have to take the blame for it, fairly or unfairly. Granted. But let's not act like we don't know why this is happening. Let's not act like this is because of some policy that Donald Trump put in place that businesses are closing, that people are on unemployment. Like, let's not do that, because if we do that, then we have to ignore the booming economy, the records that he broke, the records the stock market broke, the records that we broke in terms of black unemployment, youth unemployment, minority unemployment, like all of these things were under Donald Trump. So when COVID happened, everything crashed, but we want to try to act like it didn't happen, like it's not because of COVID. That's totally unfair.
Hey, you know what, Darius? I'm going to share something with you. I remember being a manager at an NBC affiliate before in Michigan, and things were really booming, man. Car sales were just tremendous. Then all of a sudden, the oil crisis hit, and people were lined up to get oil, to get gasoline. And my record of setting records financially for that NBC affiliate were just thrown under the ground. They said, Don, we realize that you made us millions of dollars, but under your watch right now, we're losing money, and we need to make up for 30% losses year to year. Whoever's in the seat, whenever a leader's in control, must take the glory and the failure. Right now, this country is going through failure, and we have a leader in the seat that refuses to deal with the issues. So let's look at facts, man. Let's look at reality. I'm trying to get you to look at reality so you'll understand what's happening in the world today.
Hey, Don, can I add something with reality? This is a situation where, as Darius said, we were going gangbusters. You'd all agree with that, whether you want to say it started with another president or not. We'll disagree. We'll respectfully disagree. But the economy was going crazy, best ever in the United States, at least modern history. COVID, okay. Am I gone or am I still on?
Yeah, okay.
COVID shut it all down. The president shut his behemoth machine of success down himself, or it was under his guidance, as you said. Now it's starting to come back, but we're still struggling with the coronavirus, and some, both left and right, but not enough, are trying to get a bill out to help people reality-wise, Donald, I'll use your word, reality, that will help people now. They need some help now. And Pelosi, all she wants to do is keep putting things in the bill that aren't germane to the immediate need. Why can't we pass a bill that's for immediate help now? That is not the president's fault. That is not Pelosi's fault. It's a combination of all of them. And for the life of me, why they won't do that, and she keeps stalling on that to help people immediately. They want to pin it on Trump, but she's the one that won't cooperate with a bill that targets those needs.
I gotta agree with you on that one, Bruce.
And I'm far left liberal, as you all know, but I do agree that Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are kind of holding up the bill and what's going on right now. One thing Donald Trump did say that I did appreciate, he was willing to do a standalone bill that only took care of the people who were struggling and the airlines who were struggling. But Nancy Pelosi is playing politics. She's definitely holding it up till after the election because she doesn't want Donald Trump to get a victory prior to the election. So I do agree with that. I'm not a fan of Nancy Pelosi at all, and I'm definitely not a fan of what she's doing playing politics with the American people right now. But it goes back to what I always say is that we just need time limits for members of Congress. Nancy Pelosi's been in Congress too long. Every time I see her on TV with those dentures just a clacking away and a wig hanging off to the side, I'm like, okay, Nancy, it's time to go sit down and let the next generation of leaders come in. And that goes for Mitch McConnell, and that goes for all the other. Mm-hmm.
Term limits? I agree with you 1,000%. That's two in a row for you and I. Couldn't agree with you more. Term limits. In, make your mark, get out.
Yes, I totally agree. We need enough. No more career politicians. Enough is enough.
Gentlemen, I agree as well. That's three in a row.
Wow.
<I agree.
laughs> Oh, man.
Hey, gentlemen.
Come on, Darius. Okay. We need you, buddy. Come on, Darius. You agree, right?
Yeah, okay. I agree.
Come on, Darius.
I totally agree with
you. Come on, Darius.
I agree.
Come on, Darren.
I agree so much that I don't believe we should elect Joe Biden, who's been in there 47 years. So I agree with you guys totally wholeheartedly.
Hey, Ron, can we get a weigh in on you, Ron?
I am for term limits 100%.
Is that a yes? Did you say yes? You agree?
Yes, yeah, sorry. I'm 100% for term limits.
How about Spencer and Jeremiah?
Jeremiah, I agree as well.
Wow. All right, Spencer, you're the last one. Are you there?
No, I do not agree. It shouldn't be term limits.
Oh,
no, I'm joking.
What?
I think
what?
There should be. No, I'm joking. I think there definitely should be term limits on some of these.
David, you're
man.
The last man
write
out.
That.
What do you say, David?
Write
you mean
that
you guys
down,
really
David.
Me, see, wait a minute. You guys are really going to let me jump in here? Okay, cool. Because I've been trying to change the conversation for a minute, and you guys are harassing me on this one. So I want to jump in with something. I think we only got a little while left, and of course I'm for term limits. But
wow.
On Friday, the Commission on Presidential Debates on Friday canceled the second debate between Trump and Biden after the president declined to do a virtual debate despite concerns over his COVID-19 diagnostics. What is your opinion of that, Ron? Why, you know, that just seems strange to me that you just had COVID-19 and we're asking you to do a virtual debate and you're saying no. What's the difference between standing there alive and doing it Eve style? Ron, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I can understand why. I mean, I would personally prefer to do it in person too, because I just think, I don't know, I think you get more out of it, but maybe that's just being old-fashioned. You know, I just don't understand. I mean, there's more to all this that I think any of us know. I mean, I don't understand why he was in the hospital 3 days, 4 days, whatever it was, and then he walks out and he's miraculously, you know, doing better, and now he doesn't have to quarantine himself like the rest of us do if we get sick or come in contact with somebody who's sick. So I don't know, you know, but I think it should be done virtually. You know, I think he should have agreed to that because I think the American people deserve answers, and you know, the first go around was anything but answers. So those are my feelings.
Ron, I have a question for you because you brought up a point. The president was in the hospital for 2 or 3, 4 days. He comes out and now his doctors are saying he doesn't have to be sequestered any longer, but he's doing a lot of marketing on a special product that was used that he claims for his illness to heal him, and all of a sudden now the country that developed that product was Mexico. Mexico just got $60 million from the United States to invest into this product. Now my question is, do you believe that a lot of the politicians are putting effort into getting some stock in this? And, you know, it's just something very weird about that. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I think politicians have always been crooked, and I think they will always continue to be crooked, unfortunately. And Donald Trump, even though he says he's not a politician, he's probably one of the most crooked people that has ever been in Washington, D.C. I thought it was Venezuelan. I didn't know it was Mexican. You say it was Mexican. I thought it was Venezuelan. But yeah.
I mean, wow. He came out and kept saying, this product healed me, this product healed me. And now, you know, if you're going to make an investment, that would be where to do it. What do you think on that subject, Don?
I think it's a farce, David. My wife doesn't even believe he was sick. She says that he had to get sympathy votes. And number two, here it is. A man is trying to get a Supreme Court justice in place to stop the Affirmative Care Act or Obamacare, and he just received $100,000 worth of health care, the best in the world, and we paid for it. We paid for him to take a joyride out of the hospital for 2 or 3 days after going in the hospital for 2 or 3 days and then take a joyride and then go back in and say, I had to say hello to my fans. Let me go back in the hospital. Come on. This is ridiculous. I got a friend of mine that just died from COVID 3 days ago. It hurt me to my heart because now his wife is trying to figure out what to do with the kids and the business because he didn't have a succession plan, and she doesn't know what to do. She's devastated, and I got to meet with her tomorrow. One of my best friends. And then I look at this situation. Man, we're in serious, serious trouble in America. I don't know what to say, David.
Let me ask Bruce, what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess I don't feel like Don and a few others that this is all a big con job, that he just made it up for publicity. He gets enough bad publicity and enough publicity from the public networks without doing any of that. He sure didn't need to do that. So to insinuate, and I'll have to eat my words if I'm wrong, but to insinuate that the president did all this as a stunt, to use somebody's word I'll use, is disgusting, because it's disgusting that you think that way. Because
do you not put it past him, though, that that's not outside of his character to do something like that?
Well, no, I wouldn't say it's outside of anybody's character because of all the things, all the
craziness. No, him in particular. We're talking about Donald J. Trump in particular. Is that not outside of Donald J. Trump?
In particular, he's a businessman, whether you think he's a legislator or not, I mean a politician or not. And, yeah, I'm sure he's done many things over the years in many unique, different, unpopular ways to get what he wants. I'll agree to it that way. But we've also got a lot of legislators and I won't name names because you guys know who I'm talking about, that have done much more heinous things than if you think he pretended to have coronavirus. How about trying to take down the government through backdoor craziness in the last administration, and now it's coming out that that's true, that he knew about it. So it doesn't get much more heinous than that.
Yeah, I personally don't think he had coronavirus at all. I really think this was just a publicity stunt.
Wow.
It's too many questions there. I mean, he's obese. He's 76 years old. He was in and out. They said, I found out today that he was going to actually try to wear a Superman T-shirt on when he stepped out of the hospital, but his campaign had to talk him out of that. They said he literally had the Superman T-shirt, getting ready to put it on, and was going to walk outside with it on. So that just tells me right there, okay, he's just Orange Hitler is getting his Hitler on. That's all it is. That's all I see him doing.
I feel better than I've ever felt in my life.
That's all hearsay, Michael. You don't know that that's true. It's just hearsay.
Well, it's not outside of his character. That's why I asked you that. To me, it's not outside of his character at all to do something like that. He's clearly a guy that would pull a stunt like that. No questions asked. I think Darius would even agree that that's not outside of his character.
And there's others out there that will do anything for power. Literally anything, and that's not out of another person's character either. So yeah, they all have their unique unfavorable characteristics. I would say.
All right, gentlemen. We only got 10 minutes left in the show, and I'm going to bring in the sports guy, Spencer. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, let's talk about sports. There was a lot of games going on. Where are you on sports? Who's number one in for the season, and who do you think is going to win?
Well, first off, I want to say that my Heat does play tonight at 7:30. You're looking for a Game 6 win, so make sure y'all tune in to that.
Not going to happen, baby.
I know there's some Lakers fans out there, but
you know what you're talking about, boy. You know what you're talking about.
and I do want to say this. if the Lakers didn't have LeBron or either AD, just one of them, I think this would have been a 4-1 win for the Heat. Because clearly we're taking them down to the wire with both of them, and they're great players. So I just think if it was one of them on the team, I think it would have been a 4-1 sweep. But moving on, you know, yesterday we all know our Hurricanes lost. Sadly, they're not ready to close that gap with Clemson. They got beat down real bad. And as far as today goes, our Dolphins are doing very good against some 49ers. I don't know about them Cowboys. I know there's a lot of Cowboys fans out there. I think the quarterback just got hurt, caught it off the field. They might be losing. I'm not sure they was. But the Hurricanes need to get better. The Dolphins are doing very well right now. And look out for that Miami Heat win. And I also want to speak on, there's been a lot going around the NFL with a lot of these teams getting coronavirus, players and stuff like that. And I heard a suggestion. I know some of the players are complaining about the NFL is not doing enough, not putting enough safety measures in place. And I would agree on that to a certain extent. I think they should. One of the suggestions I heard was that the teams or the owners buy up some of the hotel rooms that's around the training facilities. And most of the training facilities are not inside the city. Most of them are on the outskirts of the city. So they buy a couple hotel rooms for the players, for the coaches, and they have buses that take them back and forth to the training facility. And that way that they can have their own type of bubble. Because I think what's going on is that these players and coaches are not all in on the coronavirus safety that they put in place, and it's causing a lot of contact tracing within the NFL. So I think if this continues to go on, that they might have to cancel the season if they don't put enough safety measures in place. Because we're saying now that a lot of teams are canceling games or games are getting switched around because of these players are testing positive and coaching positive also.
All right, Spencer, do you believe that the Cowboys, who are now 1-3, have some of the worst defensive plays you've ever seen?
I don't know. I don't watch the Cowboys. I just know I'll probably wake up and they're just going to have an L. So, you know, that's not a team I really watch because they're not all that good. So, yeah,
what about the
I would agree with you.
What about the Browns? They're 3-1, and they're watching now. It's the league's most surprising, pleasant surprises is the Browns. What do you think?
Well, not really. I think the Browns always had it in them to be great. It was just that the team as a whole, they got a lot of great players on their team. I just think it was time for them to step up to the plate and just be cohesive as a team. I think that's what we're seeing because they was already good. I mean, they had a lot of good players. They was just falling behind or just underplaying themselves. But I think now they're playing up to their potential.
Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
I want to know, what did you think about the Bills, which are 4-0.
The Bills are just doing, or just starting off right where they started last year. Come again? I think seeing their what they were doing last year, you know, they're 4-0. I just think they're doing exactly what they have prepared themselves to do.
5-0.
Somebody's messing up. But anyway, Spencer, do you think that Bill O'Brien is going to keep his job? You know, the Houston Texans are a complete disaster this year. So you think they're going to keep their coach there or their Bill O'Brien?
Well, he got fired last week. So he's not there anymore. No, he's already gone.
But my understanding was, I didn't know he was totally fired. I mean, he was just bought to the side. But okay, so he's gone?
Yeah, he's gone. Redskins going. They got Romeo Crennel now as an interim head coach.
Okay.
Anyone in person?
I'm really happy to say that Dak Prescott, the quarterback from the Cowboys, we should definitely say a prayer for him because he was just taken off the field and his foot was literally detached. Like he really twisted. Ooh. His foot was going one way, his body was going the other way. It was one of those injuries. So we should definitely keep him in our prayers.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We have about 5 minutes left on the board. I want to give somebody throw it out to Darius. We have 5 minutes. Give us something to talk about in 5 minutes. What thoughts on your mind that you want to bring up with the panelists?
Bruce mentioned it earlier, and I'm just surprised that nobody's talking about the fact that they're unclassifying all of these documents. And I just wonder if anybody's outraged that that Hillary Clinton conspired with the FBI and Barack Obama and to spy on Donald Trump's campaign and to put together this entire Russia hoax package, knowing it was fake when they put the whole thing together. Is anybody outraged by that?
I'm about as outraged as Donald Trump saying he likes to grab women by their private parts. So, I mean.
Oh, there you go, changing
not,
the
that's
subject.
That's not an assault on the government. Yeah, that has nothing to do with the government, Michael.
Yeah.
Presidential debate. Kamala Harris in the debate, she brought up something that I brought up on the show last week, and I was wondering if you guys noticed that. Last week on the show, I mentioned how Donald Trump had appointed all those federal judges, and none of them were African-American. And Kamala Harris brought that exact same thing up at the debate. And that just goes to show
right,
that great minds think alike.
But you guys are going to totally ignore you guys are going to totally ignore.
Yep,
what
they are.
Against Donald Trump. Really? Nobody cares because it's Donald Trump. It's okay to go ahead and subvert the Constitution and try to thwart
you keep bringing up the past. I still haven't
that's
forgot
not the past.
About the
this
Central
just got
Park 5.
This week, man.
What about the Central Park 5, Darren? Here's some young men that were innocent, proven innocent, spent their life in prison. And then he took out full
face ads. Just say you want this thing to go away. Just say you want to overlook it. It doesn't matter because
you're why are you bringing up the past? I really was like Hillary Clinton when you said that. I was like, who's Hillary Clinton? That's how far back
Michael,
in my memory.
Michael,
Hillary has nothing to do with this.
This
has nothing to do with
this. This was just report.
Really, Hillary has nothing
week,
to
guys.
Do with this.
Wow.
Are you serious? Oh my God!
Nothing,
Bruce. Please help. Bruce, please help me out.
God,
somebody.
You can't. You guys. All right, Darius, I'll help. You cannot be serious. They tried to basically overthrow the government, and if they get in power through Biden as their puppet face, what do you think they're going to do next? We will not have a democracy as we know it and love it. That's how serious. That was and is. Do you guys understand that?
Bruce, do you understand?
About as much
we
as you understand that Russia colluded to help Donald Trump get in there.
Oh,
a junior
my
dictator. We have a junior dictator in office now, Bruce. Do you understand that?
I understand.
And our democracy is already
totally
destroyed,
ignoring.
Bruce. You're saying it's going to be destroyed. It's already being destroyed. Donald Trump's destroying it already.
It is. You're right. It is. In bits, they're chewing up the elephant, no pun intended, one bite at a time. And I pray that they'll get an upset stomach before it's over.
I can't wait to hear what you say on November 15th.
Me either, Don, because your head's going to explode.
I'll be there.
Don, I'll be there for you. I'm your brother. I'll help bring you back into one piece.
But you guys are telling me that when you have real collusion that happened between Hillary Clinton, the Russians,
oh my God,
the FBI,
Darius, are you?
Yeah,
the DOJ.
I'm
just trying to get a clear understanding. You say you care about Russian collusion when you thought it was Donald Trump, but when the truth comes out about who really colluded with Russia, you guys are totally fine with that. I just want to go to Russia.
Guys,
you're fine with that.
I got to take this to an end. We're only 15 seconds away. I want to thank everyone who was listening. Invite you back next week at 6 o'clock as we bring this back up again and move this train down the track. But hope you have a great week. Hope
Trump
everyone
train.
Enjoys Indigenous Peoples Day. And we'll see you again next week at 6 o'clock. You guys have a great time, panelists. All you guys have fun.
Love you, brothers. Love you, brothers.
Go Heat.
Have a good week.
Don't miss the beat. Go Heat.
Yes.